Welcome back to the Spirit of the West. The year-round challenges of running a cattle ranch, particularly a cow-calf operation, can lead to some pretty interesting stories. This week, I'm eavesdropping on a conversation our support crew, Mark and Kathy, had with two gals who spent their years facing everything from winter storms to blazing heat and wind and dust and everything else Mother Nature had to offer. Debbie and Marilyn were pretty interested in Kathy's description of one winter on their Meadow Springs ranch in BC's caribou country.
I remember our calves one time, it was April, and they were all maybe 2 weeks old or something. So they're sort of staggering around after their mom's still. And there was quite a bit of snow, like 2 feet in our yard, which was a little bit unusual. And we'd taken our backhoe and we'd sort of pushed some away. And they got to wandering around on the fresh stuff. But it had frozen, so they could walk on top of it 2 feet off the ground. And so they're walking around, and I looked out the window of the house one morning, and it was like, what is that out there? And about, 100 yards away from the house or so, I could see this little thing that was sitting on the top of the snow. Okay, pulled my boots on, and I go walking out there. Well, it's one of the calves, and its mom had walked through the crusted snow, and he got his front legs and his head down this hole from where one of the adult cattle had been walking. And all I was looking at was his back feet and his bum and his tail.
Oh, really?
Well, and we actually had to pull him out of that footprint. Because it was almost 2 feet straight down like a pipe.
Whoa. So he'd have died if you hadn't come got him.
I don't know how long he could have stayed there, but he just didn't have that strength to pull himself.
No, he wouldn't.
And he couldn't get his head up to pull himself out. So it's a freaky thing.
Yeah, we'd get April snow like that, but we still get the sunshine, so it would melt and then freeze on top.
Yeah, you'd get, 3/4 or an inch of ice on top of this powdery snow. Yeah.
And the calves could walk to a point, but then they would fall through too themselves. They'd break through, and so,
yeah.
We just have to clear big areas for the calving.
And the silly buggers went and walked on the stuff you really didn't want them to.
So how long were you at your ranch?
Almost 25 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. It was really good. The winter started to get too long for me. I don't know, my fingers would really bug me when, like, feeding hay and cutting bale strings. And my hands just ached from the cold.
Did you have the small bales or the round bales?
Round bales,
yeah.
Our bales were, small round bales, 800-pound bales.
Okay.
But if we bought hay, they were more like 1,600-pound bales.
Yeah.
So it really depended on what we were feeding.
Our
hay was, it sounded like very similar to what Marilyn was talking about, like we flood irrigated. But we could control our dams, except for the beaver. That's why I asked about beaver. We'd be pulling 5 beaver dams every single day. From, May through till August.
We'll get back to the conversation after another song that kind of gets me pumped up for another branding. And this was actually the second last time the Rex Allen Sr. was in the recording studio, and it was pretty memorable with his son Rex Jr., Rusty Richards, and the Sons of the Pioneers in a song written by Rex Allen Jr.
Up every morning at the break of day, you'll hear a big bearded cowboy at the chuck wagon say, "Gather round, boys, the coffee's hot on the fire. There's a full day of branding, we're heating the irons. I want to smell that scorched hair and burning hide. The horses are grained, you know they're ready to ride. Roll up your bedrolls and jump in your boots. Daylight is a-wasting, boys, it's out of the chutes. Come on and ride, cowboy, ride. Roll up your riettas and pull your sombrero down tight. We're gonna ride, ride, ride where the trail will wind. You better drive, drive, drive or we'll leave you behind. Come on and ride, ride. It's a beautiful morning and you've had a good rest. You ropers get ready to be at your best. Let's saddle them ponies and tighten the cinch.
pull on your gloves and take your hat off the fence. We'll get the cattle to market, and after they're sold, you can all let your hair down, get lazy or bold, ride into town and find a lady or two to take you by the arm and shake the dust off your boots. Come on and ride, cowboy, ride. Roll up your Riettas and pull your sombrero down tight. We're gonna ride, ride, ride where the trail will wind. You better drive, 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 or we'll leave you behind. Come on and ride, ride.
And now, back to Debbie, Marilyn, with Mark and Kathy.
We were living at the feedlot at that time, and my older son and his wife were at the ranch at Minnieberry's. And my younger son, Darcy, who's taken over now, and Clint, we had rented land along the number 3, and we had some cattle there. And he was out roping. Oh, there was one that had a foot rot. It was a yearling. So him, Clint, and Darcy went there, and they were going to rope the steer and treat it. Well, I don't know if the horse hit a hole, a gopher hole, or just stumbled. We're not sure what really happened. But he ended up going over, or ended up with his pelvis on the horn of the saddle, and he broke it, his
right.
pelvis. So I was at home. I got the phone call. Deb, you got to come and get me. I got hurt. Okay. So I went over there, and in the meantime, he managed to get off the horse, and he crawled to the steer, and he gave it the shot with his broken pelvis.
Get the job done.
Yeah, he got the job done.
Your husband was
determination.
Oh yeah. Well, he had it roped, so he had to finish the job, eh?
He was in hospital a long time.
Yeah. So he broke his pelvis. So I got him into the vehicle and the ambulance. And when we got to hospital, they said, "Why didn't you call the ambulance? We were too cheap to phone the ambulance.
Too independent."
So, anyways, he ended up with a broken pelvis and a perforated urethra. So they had to send him to Calgary because they couldn't do anything with this broken pelvis because of this urethra, whatever, was perforated. So he was in the hospital for a good week up there. And what they did at the time was they just had a kind of a belt and they just pulled it together really tight.
Yeah.
Until they could operate. It took them a week to get finally operated. But they didn't put a plate in. All they did was put kind of about 2 metal bars, and they screwed it into his pelvis bone here, and they sucked these bars together, and it just eventually healed shut, maybe in Calgary. And then they finally sent him back to Medicine Hat, to the hospital, but they wouldn't let him go home because he couldn't walk. He had, I think it was, this happened in June. I think it was finally the middle of August. No, September. Yeah, September. I think they finally could take them off. Mm. And he had to start learning to walk. Well, he could walk, but he was slow.
He was not a happy camper.
Next, Debbie recalls the rest of that very tough year on the ranch with her son badly injured, crops ready to harvest and cattle to gather, and how the neighbors, including Marilyn's family, all pitched in. And then it's the Rangeland News when the Spirit of the West continues right after this.